So we come now to what, as we've presented to you, is the fourth stage of church administration. We've talked about the planning, which all revolves around your vision statement, right? We've talked about the executing, we've talked about the systems, we've talked about creating the programs and then putting the right people in the programs. We've talked about all of those things. Let me ask you this question. Is your church at the moment healthy or weak? Is it healthy, is it weak, or is it somewhere in between? Now, you may not like what I tell you, but I don't believe you. And the reason I don't believe you is because I don't think you know. All you are giving me is an opinion from your perspective about the health of your church. So don't tell me it's healthy, and don't tell me it's weak, unless you have done some kind of evaluation to determine, is this reality, or is this just what I'm seeing and my opinion? Amen? So, how many churches do you know of or have ever been a part of that does regular effective evaluation of their ministries to determine how effective they are? I mean, let me see hands. Can you believe this? I see, were you stretching or are you raising your hand? What does that tell us? There's one hand that may have been a stretch. One. Why is evaluation important? How do you evaluate the effectiveness of a business? Pretty simple, isn't it? How much money do they make? Are they making money or are they losing money? That'll tell you quickly. Some people evaluate churches on the wrong basis. Are we gaining people or are we losing people? That doesn't tell you anything. Maybe you're losing people for the right reasons. Maybe you're gaining people for the wrong reasons. Maybe your church has grown because three other churches in the community are all struggling, they're all weak, they all have some conflict, and those people are leaving those churches and coming to yours. Is that strengthening your church? No. Because it's not increasing the kingdom of God. People are not being evangelized and discipled. People are simply leaving churches because they don't like that church and bringing their problems to your church. That's what's happening. So we often look at the wrong things to tell us how effective is our church, right? My question is, how effective are we at disciple making? That's the most important question. Because that is our vision statement. We have organized around making disciples. We have created programs and put people into those ministries that are all focused on making disciples. So what should we be looking for? How effective are we at making disciples? Amen? So I believe very few churches do proper evaluation. And therefore, most churches do not even know whether they're a strong church, a weak church, an in-between church, and don't know where changes really need to be made except just by perception of the leaders. And the leaders usually see the church differently than the people in the church. So I'm going to suggest something for you. I've put in your notes here, starting on page 10, doing a church survey. And I'll show you how this is done, and I'll tell you how I've done it before. I've got a number of questions here for you on this survey. In fact, in the area of planning, the church is going to be evaluated on how well they do planning. And look at these questions. Do we have a written vision statement or not? And you're going to answer each one of these questions with one of three answers. It's good, it's adequate, or it's poor. Let's not make it complicated. I did one of these once, and I did a 1 to 5. 1 being very poor, 5 being very good. You give us a number, 1 to 5, how you think we're doing in answer to this question. You can do it however you want. You can add questions to this. You can take questions out. This is just an example. So planning is one area we evaluate. Second, organizing and executing. That's how we're evaluating. How about our leadership? How's our leadership doing? How about our finances? We're going to talk tomorrow only about finances, but we're coming to that. Now, here's what I did once in a church at the time. It was a church of a little over 300 people that I was pastoring. And what we did was I took a survey just like this and I gave it to the whole congregation. And I had those people fill this out. They give the surveys back. And then I took 4 or 5 families and assigned them each to an elder. And the elder hosted them on a Sunday evening and discussed the surveys with them. So it wasn't just giving answers to the questions, they actually had conversation about all of these. Do you think the people in the church felt like they were being heard over what was happening in the church? Of course they were. They are already filling out a survey, and now one of the elders is listening to them. And when that elder would finish that group of 4 or 5 families, the next week he would have another group of 4 or 5 families. And we went through this whole process until all the families were covered. All of them had done the survey and expressed all of their feelings about it in a particular small group. And then the elder board took all of that information. And guess what we learned? The way we see things in the church isn't exactly the same way the people in the church see things. There are things they were pointing out and seeing and believing that we thought were completely covered, not true. And areas we thought might have been weak, they were saying, no, we think that's stronger than you think it is. But the point of it was twofold. Number one, that the people in the church are heard about what they think. That their opinions actually matter. That they have opportunity not just to pull the pastor aside on Sunday right after church and say, I like this or I don't like that. Those are not effective. But it gives people a voice. It gives them a chance to be heard. That's number one. But number two, more important, it gives the leadership of the church something actual to look at, to evaluate. Is our church strong? Is it weak? Is it in between? And that's a question you can't even answer. Because one area may be strong, one area may be in between, and one area may be weak. These tools of evaluation are very effective. If you are serious about effectively fulfilling your vision. Now, if you don't care about fulfilling your vision, don't do an evaluation. It doesn't matter. Right? Who cares? Are we succeeding? Are we failing? Who cares? Because we don't really care about our vision statement. Don't do one. But if you do care, somehow do an evaluation. If you're an elder and you're a pastor here, again, it's easy for you. But if you're a church member and you're not in one of those positions, it's more difficult for you. But that doesn't mean you can't go to your leadership with this in hand and say, what do you think if we did an evaluation like this? The leader who says, absolutely not, we know what's going on, what does that tell you about the leader? There's a problem. So let me throw this at you. What if you did a personal evaluation? Now let's step away from the church as a whole for a minute and talk about you in the current ministry position you have. What if you did a personal evaluation with a series of questions like this? As to how effective am I in fulfilling my vision statement? Remember what I said a minute ago? It's not just a church that can have a vision statement. We need vision statements for our own lives. Individually, we can have them and should have them. So now, what about periodically? Maybe every year on your birthday. One of the ways you celebrate is to do an evaluation. How effective am I at fulfilling my vision? Succeeding, failing. Do I have a lot of excuses? Can I point to some things that actually tell me whether I'm doing well or poorly? Am I communicating with us?
Yes.
Because if we don't do evaluation, we don't really know. We think we know, but we don't really know. And so I would really encourage you, if it's possible to do one in your church, do one in your church. Do one. And then keep a record of that. What if you did an evaluation of the whole church every 5 years? What would that tell you? It would tell you all the trends occurring that you may not even be able to see. Right? What's happening? How's it happening? It's a great tool for leadership to make adjustments, to make changes so that we are more effective at fulfilling our vision. And it's a great opportunity for our congregations, our people, to feel like they have a part in the ministry and not just being told what the ministry is and what we should do. Because people that feel like they have a part in the ministry are much more motivated to work in the ministry than those who are just told, this is what we are doing, get on board, come along, or go somewhere else. That's not good leadership. That's not good administration at all. So I know this is a different concept. I mean, we saw when I asked for a show of hands, how many of us have ever done this? And it's a blank. I know this is a different concept. But I pray you give this some attention. I pray you think about this. Think about what an effective tool this can be. I'm not going to lie to you and say, this is such an encouragement. Because if you do an adequate survey, you're going to be hurt in some places. And you're going to find out what I think about myself as a leader is not exactly what other people think about me as a leader. That can be painful. Very painful. I've done those kind of surveys too. I've taken some select people that I thought would be fair-minded. Not my greatest supporters and not my greatest enemies. People that I thought could be objective. And gave them a lengthy survey. Not about the church, about the pastor, about me. There were some painful parts to that. Because what I thought I was doing really well, I got some feedback that it was not quite so well. Imagine that. Less than perfection. But that tells me something. I'm not being the shepherd I need to be in places where I need to be that shepherd. Other areas were very affirming. Absolutely. We love your ministry. We validate that. We affirm you in those things. It was great. But it was a very positive tool. Once I got over the sting of it, very positive tool to tell me, where am I succeeding? Where am I failing? And what do I need to change? If you don't care about how effective you are as a leader, don't do the survey. Don't do that. Don't put yourself through it. But if you care about how effective you are as a servant of God, I want to just urge you. Write one or find one online. And pick some people out that can be fair-minded. Don't go to your greatest supporters. They're always going to polish your marble and tell you wonderful things. And don't go to your enemies because they're going to do the opposite. And we all have both, don't we? If we have a ministry of three people or more, we're going to have supporters, we're going to have enemies, and we're going to have people in the middle. If we just have three people. Right? So pick someone, two, three, five, at least three. Submit that to them and say, listen, I want you to pray about this, and I want you to take the time. Give it some thought. I know I'm asking a lot of you. It's going to take you some time. But give me some honest answers because I want feedback. I want to be the most effective leader of God's people I can be. And I know the way I see myself is not always accurate. Give me some feedback. Help me. And then pray for me for changes in these areas. I realize that takes a lot of humility to do that. For the purple person who's having his Bible carried into church every Sunday morning, he's probably not going to want to do that. But we're talking about wanting to be the most effective leaders of God's people we can be, aren't we? I mean, isn't that why we're here? I think I know you well enough to know that is in your heart. That's what you want. Or you wouldn't even be here. So evaluation can be a great tool. Great tool. Elders, deacons, doesn't matter. Great tool. Every area of ministry, every program we have, it'll help us determine, do we need to put new people in there? Do we need to move some people around? What's happening? Effective, not effective, and so on. So I just want to lay that out for you. This is a critical element. Planning, structuring, executing, but evaluate. Takes courage, takes humility, but you will be blessed with the outcome. You will be. It's going to be painful a bit, but it's the only way to refine your ministry and sharpen it to be more and more effective in keeping your vision of making disciples. Amen? Is that a simple enough perspective on church administration? You can get far more complicated, but I don't think we need to. We don't need that. None of us here have PhDs in economics and business management. We don't need that in the church, right? This is a simple model, and I think it's adequate. If we'll just do these things, right? And if we will do them, I think we will be blessed. You have been an amazing group of people today. Incredibly responsive, which we both enjoy a great deal. Very responsive. I hope you have been stretched a bit. Hope you've been challenged a bit. I hope you will go home and go into your prayer closet and pray about this. Don't just keep discussing and discussing. I like what he said, but I didn't like what he said there. We don't get anywhere that way. You need time alone with the Lord. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying this is what we need to do. You need time alone with the Lord where we ask him where the changes need to come. What needs to be burned in my heart and what needs to be burned out of my heart in this area. I hope you've been blessed today. I hope you've enjoyed today. I hope you have been challenged and you've grown today. But tomorrow we take on the issue of money. Money. Believe me. It's interesting. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we love you. You are the Lord of the church. We are your bride. And I pray for us, Lord. We just want to serve you. We want to love you. We want to be faithful to you. We want you, Lord Jesus, to bless us because we are obedient to You. Because we do things Your way, not our way. And so I pray over everyone here today. Blessing. Bless them, Lord, for their willingness to be here and listen to Your word and grow in Your grace. Thank You. Bless us with good rest tonight. Bless us with good conversation. And by Your Spirit, I pray You speak into hearts from what we've heard. And tomorrow we will join and we will love You yet again and we will listen to Your word yet again. And You will refine us more and more as the leaders and disciples You intend for us to be. And we're going to give You thanks in advance for that. So bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.